identity. Understands that you can't control God. God wasn't nominated, he wasn't appointed, he wasn't elected, so he can't be impeached and he will not be voted out of office. His reign is universal and his term is eternal. His platform has been predestined and his agenda is inevitable. God cannot be controlled and God cannot be labeled. He's too big for that. So God's not a capitalist and he's not a socialist and God's not a Democrat and he's not a Republican. Nobody gets to claim that. Like, everybody wants to say, God's on our side. God's on our side. God's not on your side. He's on his side. And he doesn't need us to make him famous. He doesn't need us to convince people that he's creative and cool and somehow relevant. He sits enthroned in heaven. So you can't restrain his will. You can't restrict his power. You can't limit his jurisdiction. After an election, God has never said, didn't see that coming. God does not work that way. His decisions don't get overturned. He is above all. He is through all. He is in all. He is all present. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. And God moves kings. Listen, God moves kings and queens and entire nations like pawns on a chessboard. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is our Father.
Come on, can we say amen to that? I think we can do better than that. Can we say amen to that? Everybody say, God is in control. God is in control. Well, I'm just going to preference this now that saying this is going to be a rough message. It's going to be a hard message. I'm pretty sure some people in first service left out mad at me, but I still love you. And but I just want to share what's on my heart this morning, something that I feel kind of uncomfortable sharing. But I've got to, when God gives you an instruction and tells you to say something, you got to say it. Amen. And so I'm going to jump right into it this morning. I'm going to come down here because I'm just going to share my heart this morning, and we're going to have a good time. Well, we've had a big week this week. We had our election night on Tuesday night. How many of y'all stayed up all night and to watch that and stuff like that? Long night. We were dragging the next morning, and you know, we seen what the outcome was. If you don't know what the outcome was, I don't know where you've been. You must be under a rock. But it was such a long night, long process, which was very symbolic of the process that has happened throughout this entire 18 months, 2 years, whatever, through the campaign that has been happening. And so, but throughout this entire process, and especially these last couple of weeks or so, my heart has just been so grieved, and I've been saddened. And I don't mean about the result. I don't mean about what happened. I don't even care about the candidates, truthfully. But I'm saying I that was not why I was grieved. I was like, God, what is going on with me? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I so confused? Why am I so just burdened down and bogged down by this decision or by what's going on in this country? And God said, I'm giving you this burden because this is how I feel. And I said, okay, explain to me. How do you feel? Why are you making me feel this way? He said, you know, we expect the world. We expect social media. We expect the news outlet, CNN, Fox News, all those people. We expect people who don't know Jesus. We expect them to be rude. We expect them to be nasty. We expect them to say racist comments. We expect them to say all these hateful terms and to be so divided and to yell at each other and scream at each other and have so much division going on. We expect that. But the reason why I'm grieved and saddened and brought that on by the heart of God is because that same thing, those same hateful words, that same racist statements, those same division, all that stuff that's going on out in the world, the same thing is happening in the church. It's going to be quiet in here this morning. I talked to my best friend, Big Mike, and it's going to be quiet because this is a toe-stepping on message. But the same exact thing, the way that the world has been reacting to all this, the church has been reacting the same. But the word of God says we are called to be different. Come out from among them and be separate. What does that mean? That means to be different. Everybody say different. So we can't respond how the world responds. We can't react how the world reacts. We can't just spew words and say things, even if we're joking, without consequence, because we must speak the way that God wants us to speak. I told it's cricket. It's all right. Because I know this is not a, I know this has been a hot button issue for this whole week. How many of y'all just had to get off of Facebook and had to get, Lord Jesus, the devil was all on Facebook and Instagram and all sorts of crazy stuff. But we saw that and we see, and I said, God, what is going on? He said, son, the church has been divided over this election. And I don't mean who you selected. I'm not saying who you voted for. We'll never be a church that say you have to vote for this person. What we do tell you, though, is to make certain you pray, make certain you see what the things line up with biblical principles and stuff like that. But even if you don't, we're not going to make you an outcast. The world will say, if you didn't choose me, if you didn't like me, if you didn't do this, then whatever. No, we can't do that as the church. We've got to understand that we can have difference of opinions and different voting methods and different whatever you had in you. We can have that and still come up to your brother and say, hey, man, Tucker, we may not agree, but I still love you. I'm still going to respect you. I'm still going to honor you. I'm not going to downgrade you because we don't respect, because I need you more than I need any president. Thanks, Pastor. We need each other. Everybody say, we need each other. Chris, when you get a chance, give me a little help. I'm losing my voice. But we have got to see what Satan is trying to do. Well, the world is doing it. They're talking about this person. They're talking about their candidate. They're saying this. They're doing that. They're talking about our president. Why can't I have my own opinion? Nobody said you could have your own opinion. But what we did say is, what is the right heart and motive that you're saying what you're saying? And so we say, well, they're doing it. Again, church, we're called to be different. We're not called to bash our leaders. We're not called to bash and talk about those people. The word says we are called to pray for our leaders. We're called to pray for our leaders, not bash them. I think I have it up there, 2 Timothy. Go ahead, Gary, go ahead to the next one. I think it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I believe that's on there. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Everybody say all people. Pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Now watch this. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. Let me put it to where we are today. Pray this way for presidents. Pray this way for governors. Pray this way for mayors. Pray this way for police officers. Pray this way for teachers. Pray for all of those who are in authority so that we can live peaceful lives. Listen, the Bible did not say pray for somebody because you like them. The Bible doesn't say pray for them because you agree with their policies. The Bible doesn't say pray for them because they're black or white. The Bible says pray for your leaders. I know it's a hard word, church. I know we can get caught up in the hustle and bustle, what's going on at work and what's going on at jobs, and people are saying this and saying that. Church, we're called to be different. We're called to be different. So we see all this stuff going on, and some of the funniest statements that I've seen over these past couple of weeks of what's been going on is the first thing is I've seen people say, well, if you didn't vote for a particular candidate, you're not a Christian. Who died and made you God? Like, for real, like, who died and made you God? Now, yes, we know that certain moral ethics and biblical principles and stuff like that are that. But even if you don't, we are not God to be able to tell you you're not a Christian. The word of God says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. Not if you vote for a particular candidate. Just want to be honest today. So we're saying that. And then here's the funny one, Pastor Gene. This one cracks me up. I'm sure you've seen it too, all over social media. Everybody's saying, whoa. That's it. I'm packing my bags. I'm out. I'm going to a different country. You don't even have a passport. Where you going? How you gonna go to a different country without a passport? But anyway, I'm out. I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm going. You know what I'm going to tell them? TJ, bye, Felicia. Holla. I'm going to holler at you. You want to know why? Because we still have the greatest country on this planet, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And while I'm talking about that, can we honor all of our veterans, all of our military, our honor? Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's honor those who have served us to give us the freedom of our country. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Guys may be seated. So if you want to go, goodbye. I'll even help you pack. Come and tell me when you're ready to leave and I'll be there. Because this is still a great country. What am I saying? I'm saying that while everybody has literally completely lost their minds over this last week or two, can we all agree? Like, people have gone crazy. And while all this is going on, we're like, everybody's like, well, I don't know what to do. And what if this person would have got in? And what if this person got in? And we still got this president. And what would happen? Let me tell you what would happen. God is still in control. God is still in control. Let me tell you something that y'all may not clap for. I don't care. But some of y'all may get mad at this. But even if the other candidate had got in, God still would have been in control. God still is in control. Look at somebody say, God is in control. I don't care. I don't care who is in that seat in the White House. I don't care who has been in that seat. I don't care who's currently in their seat. I don't care who's going to be in that seat. I don't care who's going to be in that seat after I am gone. But the seat that I care about is the seat that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that sits on high and looks down low. That's the King that I care about. I care about the King that's the President of Presidents. I care about the King that's the Governor of Governors. I care about the King, the one that is the Mayor of Mayors. That's the seat that I care about. And that's the seat us as a church that we should care about. Not saying that you can't have an opinion and not to do your duty and vote. We have to do that, church. We have to do that. But what I'm saying is we can't get so caught up in what's going on in the world. You want to know why? Let me give you an explanation of why we can't get caught up in that. Because we must understand that the enemy is using different things to divide us as a church. And I want to make it plain and clear today. The spirit of division comes from one person, and that is Satan himself. Somebody should say amen to that. Division only comes from one person, and that's Satan himself. How do you know that? Well, we see one of the very first divisions that ever happened was in heaven. Remember, he was the praise and worship leader, got all the band together, got all the singers together. Holy, holy, holy. They got the worship going in there. It's amazing. People are worshiping God. And then he gets confused saying, hey, man, did y'all hear that arrangement? Y'all hear those violins, those cellos, those harps? I did all that. That was nice. Don't that sound good? Y'all should go ahead and come and worship me. God said, all right, holla, kicked him out of heaven. And he's gone. But what we also forget too is that he was not the only one that was kicked out. He kicked out over half of the angels with him. Spirit of division. And if we are not careful, church, if we continue to be blind, the enemy will try to do the same thing in the church. He will make us divided. You got to understand that the enemy would like nothing more than to divide the church, even over an issue like an election. He would. And you want to understand that an election is small to God. God don't care who's sitting in the seat, because you know what? He's sitting back saying, I don't care. I'm in control. God has used wise leaders. He's used righteous leaders. And he's also used unrighteous leaders and liars, all for his glory. And how many know that God can still do it again today? Amen. God is in control. So church, we got to wake up. Everybody say, wake up. And we got to see the devices, the script. There's a scripture that says, let us not be ignorant of the devices of which Satan is using to divide us or to confuse us. And I want you to know, and I say this from my heart, the church in this particular situation, we have been a little bit ignorant, y'all. I was talking to my wife. I said, it's so sad when on Facebook and on Instagram and all those different things, I can't even tell who's a Christian and who's not. Can I be honest? Because all we're doing is spewing hate. All we're doing is saying, if you didn't do this, then you're wrong. If you didn't say that, then you're wrong. That's not right, God, y'all. That's not the will of God. That's not how we are supposed to respond and to act. We are just supposed to do our duty and say, now, God, your will be done. Your kingdom come. And we will worship you, because you're the only king that we worry about anyway. So what am I saying? What am I saying? Why am I talking about all this? My point is, church, we cannot get so wrapped up and consumed in what is going on in this world, in this nation, in this country. Well, you want to know why? Why do I say that? Because I want to give you something today. If you don't know this, this is a secret. So don't tell anybody, but you're not from here. You're not. We are not citizens of the United States. Now, physically, yes, we are, and thank God for that, because, again, it's the greatest country on the planet. But we're not citizens. Physically, we're citizens of the United States of America. But spiritually, you want to know what we are? We are citizens of heaven. You better preach, boy. I'll do it to myself if y'all want. And I'm crazy, too. But we're citizens of heaven. We can't get so caught up and wrapped up in what's going on with the word. Now, I know I've said a lot and didn't back it up with any scripture. Here you go. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 18. It says, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. These are the world. This is the media. This is those people that I was talking about earlier. And the people that don't know Jesus. And they think that only think about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven." Everybody say, citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we eagerly are waiting for him to return as a savior. So we got to understand that our citizenship is not in the United States of America. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we are here, this place, y'all, of the earth, of our state, of our city. This is not a permanent residence. This is a temporary place. Let me tell you why. Because we were created in heaven. We were sent down here for a mission. What is that mission? That mission is to love God, to love people, and to bring people to him. That's it. That's our mission. And when we're done with that mission, guess what, y'all? And if y'all don't celebrate, I'm going to celebrate by myself. Once we're done with that mission, we get to go back home. Y'all know how it is when you take a long vacation somewhere and you finally get back home. You're just like, oh, this feels so good. That's what it's going to be like. I know we're like, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. When we get there, we're actually going to know, like, this is where I was supposed to be all the time. This is, I'm a citizen of heaven. Everybody say, I'm a citizen of heaven. We're not Democrat. We're not Republican. We're not liberal. We're not whatever the rest of the crazy people are. We're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. So we have to understand, guys, and I'm not just talking about now on this part, just the election. We cannot get so caught up in the things of this world. We can't get so caught up in our stresses, in our struggle, in our brokenness, in our burdens. We can't get so caught up in that because we're not from this world. And let me show you why we can't get so caught up in what's been going on in the world and in social media and all over CNN news and all sorts of crazy things. Let me show you why we can't get caught up in it. Mark chapter 4 verse 19 says it like this. It says, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things to come in, they come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful." Have any of y'all ever heard a great message from Pastor Gene? Y'all better lift y'all hands and say yes, y'all. Okay. Heard it here to Pastor Gene, and then, you know, Sunday, you get home, you wake up from your nap. I am royalty. Ha ha. Praise the Lord. You start doing dishes. I'll do the dishes, babe. Don't worry about it. Glory to God. I am a citizen of heaven. Hey, thank you. And you start going. And Monday morning, you wake up. You're like, woohoo. I know my true identity. I am a child of God. Glory. Hallelujah. Like you do all that. And then Wednesday hits. Wait, what did he say? Like, has that ever happened to anybody? Like, you're like so on fire for something on that Sunday morning, and then by the time Wednesday or Thursday comes, you completely forgotten what happened. God revealed to me that this is the scripture of what's happening. We've allowed the cares of this world, the stress, the struggle. Listen, I know that we go through things and I know they're real and I know that we have to go through those things, but the worries of this life, they come in and then they choke out that word. You know what happens when you choke something out? It dies and it doesn't make it fruitful. But we have to be producing fruit, church. You want to know why? Because the scripture says they know them by their what? Fruit. If you're not producing fruit, do people really know you? Think about it. So we must produce fruit. We cannot, church, I keep stressing it enough, we cannot continue to get caught up in the things of this world just like the world. We must recognize that we are citizens of heaven. One more time, say, I am a citizen of heaven. So, now I'm going to give you some of the good things, maybe. When you recognize that you are a citizen of heaven, then things start to happen. You start to realize some things. And let me show you. The first thing is, when you recognize that you are a citizen of heaven, you don't bow. You don't bow. What do you mean by that? Well, there is a cool story, probably one of my most favorite stories. Learned it as a kid and never forgot it. There's these three Hebrew boys that they were there, and their king, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was not a good king. He was a nasty king. He was no good. And he did these things, and I'll explain more about the story later. But the really cool part about this story, one of them that I love about it, is that I can see through the text that one of the guys is black, like me. And you're like, how do you know that? Well, look at their names: Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. He's black. Yes, we got one in there. I still think Jesus was black. You know, they said his hair was like wool. You know, black people, we got nappy hair. So okay. I was not supposed to go there. I'm so sorry. Shadrach, Meshach, and you know what I just said? So let me set up the story. Wait, by the way, don't say that. Don't go home and repeat that. Don't put that on social media. Oh, my pastor said a bad Negro today. Glory. No, you will get killed. You or slapped or something is going to happen. And I'm not responsible for that. The blood is not on my hands. So anyway, this king, he was there. Bad king, terrible king. And he had these people make a statue of him. A gold statue, 20 feet high. And he said, they told him, they said, King, when we get done with this, we're going to have the people come out. And when they come out, we're going to play the horns. And when we play the horns, then we're going to have everybody bow. King said, I love that idea. I want people to bow to my statue. So it happens. They finish the statue. They call the people. King comes out, sits on his throne. They blow the horn. Do-do-do-do. Everybody bows but three. Everybody bows but three. There's something about threes with God, by the way. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He works, he operates in threes. But these three guys, they didn't bow. And so the king, mad, hops up off his thing. And he goes, hey, what y'all think y'all doing? Did y'all hear what I said? I said, y'all see my statue. It's nice and shiny. And when you hear the trumpet blow, I want you to bow to that statue. I'm going to give y'all one more chance. Y'all ready? Da-da-da-da! They still didn't bow. And so the king, mad at this point. You know how some people get mad. They can't even get any words out. It's so funny. I've heard that from my wife a few times. She's probably really wanting to say something. And you hear that, Steve? Yeah, yep. In Jesus' name, just pray for her, y'all. But he couldn't get anything out. He goes, just get them thrown in the fiery furnace. That's it. I told them they should have bowed to me. They should have bowed to my statue. They throw them in there. And they throw him in the fiery furnace, and the Bible says that it was seven times, he was so mad that it was seven times hotter than what it normally was, and it was so hot that the guards who actually threw him in there actually got killed for putting them in there. Now, this is a message for a whole nother day, that sometimes the people who try to lead you to the fire will be taken out by the fire. Can somebody say amen in this place? Maybe I'll preach that one day. But they throw him in there. He said, close the door. Closes it. Boom. That's what I imagine. I imagine there's a big sound. And he sits there. He goes, give it a minute. It's 7 times hotter. They're going to be out of here quick. I want to smell them burnt up and burnt to a crisp. I want to see their robes and their loincloths on the ground and just ashes. And so he said, all right, open the door up. He opens it up and he goes, what in the world? And they're like, King, what do you see? We put in 3 people, but why am I counting 4? Now, this is the part that gets me excited every single time, even from a little kid. The 4th person was not just somebody who jumped in there with them. That 4th person was Jesus Christ. And how many of you know that sometimes you get in the fire, Jesus jumps right in there with you? And so they threw it in there, and he gets in the fire. He opened the door, and not only does he just see them in the fire, but it says they're running around, and they're praising God. Their shackles are broken, and they are not even singed by the fire. Don't even smell like fire. And I can imagine a little something like this was happening. They were singing, I am free to run. I am free to run. Come on. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. You, Jesus. I'm free to live for you. Come on. I am free. Don't you imagine that there was a worship session going on in the fire? Sometimes you got to worship God through the fire, through the persecution, through the stress, and say, God, I'm still free to worship you. All right, I got to calm down. I just got real excited real quick. I'm not at a black church, because at a black church, I'll probably be on the chairs and doing something crazy like that. But so throws him in the fire. And he sees that. But I want you to understand that they got to have that encounter with Jesus. They got to see him in action. Why? Because they did not bow. Why did they not bow? Because they knew their citizenship was not with that government. Their citizenship was in what? Was in heaven. Their citizenship was in heaven. So they said, King, I'm sorry. I don't bow to you. I don't bow to what's going on in the world. And I believe that this is time for the church, because we have no more time to be divided. We have no more time to be stressed out. We have no more time to be hateful against brother and brother. But we got to get together and say, Jesus, we still call out to you. We want this nation. We want this country to come running back to Jesus. The church has got to do that, because we got to understand that we need each other. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Now, the person next to you probably knows that they need you, because husbands, it's your wife, and you know you need your wife. But look down your row and say, hey, down there, I need you. You know, there's a song by a pastor. His name is Pastor Hezekiah Walker. And the song simply goes, I love you. I need you. We're all a part of God's body. I love you. I need you. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. How many think that's a good song? It says that we need you. There's another part of the song that says, I won't harm you with words from my mouth. So the king throws him in the fire, and he sees him. He's like, okay, what in the world? So they didn't bow. The question is, church, and I'm not going to take too much time on this, but what are we bowing to, church? What I think the church has lost our identity. And we've started bowing to some things. We've started bowing to some things that are going on in our country and in our government. I'm going to be 100% bold right here, because I feel the Spirit of God. We have allowed things like abortion to even be a topic. We have allowed things like same-sex marriage, when God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And the church has bowed to it. But it's time for the church to wake up and take back this country. Can somebody give God a shout of praise in this place? So we can't bow anymore, church. It's time for us to get up and move forward. But you got to understand that when you don't bow, when you recognize your citizenship, it's going to cost you something. You think that was fun for them to be thrown in a fire, a fiery furnace, not knowing if Jesus would show up, not knowing if God would show up. They thought it was over. You think that was fun, but I'm here to tell you that when you stand up for your citizenship of heaven, it may cost you things. It may cost you some relationships. It may cost you some friendships. Maybe you can't hang out with certain people anymore. It may cost you your job. Maybe you say, hey, they're not doing things morally anymore. I've got to make certain that, and even if it's $20,000 pay cut, I'm going to do the will of God and make certain I'm aligned with God. I don't care what they're doing. Maybe it will cost you something like that. When you bow, guys, when you don't bow, it's going to cost you something. The next thing says, when you realize that you're a citizen, you got to understand that we're praising, we're excited that they got free, that they're running around, chains are gone, all that good stuff. Jesus is with them. But you got to understand that they did not actually even get those benefits without that fire. They didn't get that encounter with Jesus until they went through the fire. Jesus tells us, guess what, church? Hello, you will have trouble. You will have fires. You will have storms in your life. But you cannot let go of what I am calling you to do. So you cannot get the benefits without going through the fire. And my last thing is when you recognize your citizenship, when you realize that you are a citizen of heaven and you stand firm on that, then others will see. That's my favorite part, because we are here to show others the love of Jesus Christ. And let me back this up, that others will see. This story of King Nebuchadnezzar is so crazy, because he's a terrible king. He's a bad king. He did all these things, built this gold statue and all the good things, and made people bow. And he saw Jesus for himself because of this. And when he saw them, let's see what King Nebuchadnezzar's reaction was. Let's see here in Daniel chapter 3. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king, talking about himself. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any other god except their own. Therefore, I make this decree as the king today. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. Now, this is the part that gets me right here. This is a king, horrible person, killing people, making idols of himself out of his own mouth. Because he saw Jesus, he said, there is no other God who can rescue like that. How many think that's a good thing? When people see that you've gone through a divorce, but you can still lift up your hands and say, God, I love you. When people know that you've lost your job, yet you're still giving your tithes and offerings, people will look back and say, oh my goodness. When people see that you've been stabbed in the back by people, but you still can be nice, you still can be loving. When you are still on your face praying for other people, even though your situation is crazy, people will look at you and say, who is that God that you serve? I want to know that God. There must be nobody like him. And they will tell everybody about him. Others will see as the musicians come. I'm going to close with this scripture that Pastor Gene has shared several times in this series, and I feel like it goes perfect with this one. 1 Peter 2:9-10. It's reminding us, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We're a chosen people, church. And I'm going to sum it up and close my message with this. Everybody is so worried and so afraid about the direction of our country and what's going to happen. And some people are celebrating. Some people are crying. Some people say they're leaving. Some people are hiding. It's all sorts of crazy things. And everybody's worried about what's going on. And they're saying, this world, they're saying, Pastor Gene, this world is so dark. It's going to be dark. And we don't know whoever is going to be dark. And what are we going to do? But I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid of the darkness. You want to know why, church? Because we are the light. We, Pastor Tom, we are the light. And so we can't hurt my brother and sister with our words. We can say, I may not agree, but I love you. You're my brother. You're more important than any type of election, any type of things that I'm going through. I need you to survive. I need you. We got to realize and recognize and understand again, y'all, we can't get so caught up in what's going on in the world. We got to say, God, I'm going through this. I'm going through this struggle, and I'm trying to figure out my citizenship. But God, I know you still reign. God, I know you're still in control. The definition of citizenship was you have the rights and privileges and duties of a citizen. The duties is your mission, what you're called to do on this earth. The privileges is being a royal priesthood. We get everything that the king has. But the rights, this is my favorite part. We have the right as citizens to call things as though it's not as though they were. I spoke a message here maybe a couple months ago that said, say it, believe it, see it. Say it, believe it, see it. That's a right. So we can look at when our marriage is struggling and say, no, in Jesus' name, my marriage will align by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We can look at cancer and say, I don't care what they've diagnosed me with. I'm still going to be here at this altar saying, God, you still reign. We're going to look at our financial situations and struggle and say, no, in Jesus' name, I command the resources to come to my house. Because we are citizens of heaven. Stand to your feet right now at this time. I want to remind everybody in this place that our God still reigns. I don't care where you sat at on this election, who you voted for, who you did. But I love what Pastor Justin said on his social media. Actually, one of the positive things that I actually saw. He said, there's going to be a lot of forgiveness and a lot of healing that needs to happen after this election. Can we be honest? And can we be honest? Some of us are those ones who have said the hurtful things. And some of us, we have been the recipients of hurtful things. Maybe we need to ask God to forgive us. Or maybe we need to ask someone to forgive us and say, you know, I'm so sorry that I let this get between me and you. But I realize that my citizenship is not here. It's with the King of Kings and in the Lord of Lords. Because our God reigns. How many believe that our God reigns? I said, how many believe that our God reigns? So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your word that's come forth in this place, God, to remind us that we can't get so caught up in what's going on in our lives, God, but we can, God, know that you still reign, God. Whatever situation, every circumstance that you see in here, you've seen the broken hearts, you've seen the stress, you've seen someone who's let down, you've seen someone who's like offended by something, God, but you still reign over their hearts, over their minds. And I pray for those, God, who maybe said some hurtful things, God, even if it was a joke or different things, God, I pray, Lord, that they will repent and say, God, I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't want to bring division in your house. You are my God. You are my King. And I pray for those who have been hurt by others. And I speak healing in Jesus' name to their hearts and to their minds and say, this thing of an election is not going to be bigger than who Jesus Christ is, because our God reigns. If you are in this place with your head bowed and still eyes closed real quick, and you say, I'm not a citizen. I want to be a citizen. I want to be a Christ follower, whether it's your first time or you want to renew something and say, God, renew it in me. If that's you and nobody else looking around but just me, slip up your hands real quick. We just want to pray with you. If that's anybody here, I see the hand back there. I see the hand. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Come on, church. Let's praise God for all the hands that's going up. Now let's pray real quick. Everybody say this together. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that you died, that you rose again, and that you're coming again. I accept you in my heart, or I re-accept you into my heart. And from this day forward, I am going to live for you because you reign. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise in this place. Come on. Now we're going to close out this message with this simple song that just says, our God reigns. And I want you, I want to speak boldly. I want everybody to get out of your seats. Come down to this altar as we close it out as a unified body of Christ, saying, God, we don't care what's going on in the world, what's going on in our lives. God, you still reign. Come on, push forward and let those that are coming behind you, as we close out this message, say, God, we give you the worship, we give you the praise, because you reign, Jesus. You reign, God. Come on, sing forever. Now come on, let's give him a shout of praise in this place. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who reigns. Hallelujah.
Amen, man. We serve a good God, don't we? Come on, one more time. Give God a hand clap of praise. Woo! Man. Thank you, Pastor TJ. What an awesome word this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a citizen of heaven. How many know that true change is not going to happen from what happens in the White House, what happens in God's house, when the body of Christ will rise up, love our neighbor as ourselves. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Show his love. If we will rise up and be the church that God has called us to be, we will make a difference in this nation and around the world. Amen? Amen. We're so glad you guys are here today. We love every one of you. God bless you so much. Turn and give someone a big high five and say it was good to be with you today. God bless you.